This is Fall Into Wellness, a limited series podcast sponsored and produced by Night Fairy Wellness. Host Sharon Elise speaks with influential speakers and partners of the Fall Into Wellness Retreat, offering insight and wisdom into the journey of each guest. Each episode will leave you feeling inspired and ready to join us on the journey to whole body wellness.
Welcome to another episode of Fall Into Wellness. I'm your host, Sharon Elise. On today's episode of Fall Into Wellness, I had the pleasure of speaking with my soror and friend, Dr. Christine Thorpe. Dr. Thorpe is a health educator, wellness coach, author of Living Beyond the Facade, and founder of Stronger Tomorrow, Inc., which engages multicultural women in positive, life-changing health practices. I love speaking with Dr. Thorpe. She provided some amazing insight, including this big, impactful five-word affirmation. You don't want to miss this. Check it out. Dr. Thorpe, I'm so excited to have you on the show today and to be speaking with you. Even more excited to have you as a speaker at the retreat, the Fall Into Wellness Retreat. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Thank you so much, my dear soror and friend, Sharon Elise. I am grateful to be on this podcast, and I'm looking forward to being a speaker. This is just such an exciting time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So I told the audience a little bit about you before we hopped on the call, but I wanted you to take the opportunity to share more about yourself and the work that you're doing with Stronger Tomorrow and just your business in general.
Okay, well, about me. Let's see. I'm a wife, mother of two children. I'm a health educator, professor. I'm a university administrator. I stay very busy. But about 2 years ago, I started a nonprofit organization called Stronger Tomorrow Wellness. And it's to provide health and wellness education to multicultural women who are not typically seen in the health and wellness space. As someone who practices what she preaches, doing health and wellness is just natural for me, my family, and I pride myself in being a role model and working with and talking with women and inspiring women to join in on the movement of taking good care of themselves inside and out. So I started this nonprofit organization, and it's based on the eight dimensions of wellness, and my partner, co-director, Dina Quinones, and I are in the throes of building out programming that helps us to be much more introspective in our approach, particularly as women, and the areas that we find challenging, and actually taking control and feeling empowered collectively and holding each other accountable. So that is the direction that we're moving in with Stronger Tomorrow. We're really excited to roll out so many new things that will really propel us in a new direction. I recently, literally, just finished my book called Living Beyond the Facade. And it's been a labor of love for about 2.5 years. This book is written to really share insight on the health and wealth practices of successful Americans of African descent. And my motivation for writing this book, quite frankly, started with the presidential election a couple of years ago. And as you'll hear it noted in the book, or see it noted in the book, I made mention of a statement that indicated that African Americans and Hispanics are living in hell. And it was stated in such a way that it was a broad sweeping comment that put everybody into one category and a label, and in a way that was completely denigrating to an entire group of people without thought of the consequences of such language. And not to say that we don't have communities that are experiencing difficulty, but in a country where you say African Americans and Hispanics are living in hell, it gives the impression that everyone is completely under a rock and miserable and living just the worst possible life ever. And I wanted to challenge that, in addition to challenging, of course, the statistics that we all know well about chronic health issues that disproportionately impact communities of color. And a lot of times these statistics and reports are shared, but there are no proper solutions or flip side of how to do things well with people who represent the community. So Living Beyond the Facade takes into account several interviews I conducted over the 2.5 years of Americans of African descent sharing their stories of health, wellness, and their wealth practices and how they fought to break the cycle, what lessons they learned. And these are all real people that you and I and anyone paying attention at this moment can relate to and actually find resources and tools to change the trajectory that is being painted that we're going to be broke as a people by 2050. So that's a lot to share about who I am, but this is what I do and what I enjoy, you know, really, you know, immersing myself into. And I really, you know, want to talk more about such areas because it's really important, it's impactful, and it changes the lives around us.
No, absolutely. And yes, I was just, you know, my energy is vibrating as you're speaking, and I'm just like, yes, yes, and just shaking my head in agreement with you that, you know, this information is not being dispelled to our people and to people of color in general. And you're so right that language like that, it separates us. And representation is so important, and it's so important of how we see ourselves and how we create a belief for ourselves to be able to accomplish these things. So when statistics like that are coming out and to the mass public, they're hearing it, it becomes a belief and it becomes a stigma, and mm-hmm. it creates more fear for us, you know, to be able to move forward. I wrote a piece for the Black Girl and Own blog on healing and knowing yourself, your history, and your body. And I talk about how, you know, Black women, we experience some of the highest rates in like diabetes and, you know, sexually transmitted diseases mm-hmm. and all of the, and stress and all of these things. And there are so many different factors playing a role in that. And again, going back to the history and knowing like who we are as women, I feel is so important. Mm-hmm. And while work like what you're doing with Stronger Tomorrow, what we're doing with this spiritual retreat is so important for us to be able to dispense this information so that they know who we really are and the power that can come from us being able to work on our points of wellness, whether it's the 5 points of wellness or the 8 dimensions of wellness, mm-hmm. all of these different areas in our lives that are, you know, fundamental to who we are, I think is super important. So, no, thank you for taking the time to share that. I'm wondering, you know, if you would be so gracious as to tell us how did you get started on your own wellness journey and what that looks like for you?
Oh, my wellness journey. Well, honestly, my wellness journey started when I was much younger. I had a lot of allergies. I was allergic to everything, it seemed, under the sun. And
oh,
because
no.
of that, yeah, well, you know, you live in an environment where foods are laden with pesticides or they're genetically modified. And growing up, you know, I had to be very careful with what I ate. And my parents were very careful with the foods that we prepared. But, you know, what was helpful, you know, my parents come from the Caribbean, and a lot of the foods that they would prepare, a lot of the traditional foods that we would eat, they would make it in a very healthy way. And that, you know, was the staple diet that I grew up on. So anything mm-hmm. outside of that, things that were fast foods, things that were not healthy or overprocessed, we couldn't have them in the home because I was very allergic to them. So that began my health journey. So at first I thought I wanted to be a physician, but I like to sleep at night. I didn't want to. It's such an odd way of saying it, but yeah, I respect medicine quite a bit, but I wanted to get to people before they got sick. And it was important for me to be in a position to inform, educate, and connect with people for people to feel empowered on their life journey and not feel as if they're reacting to a diagnosis. So I got into the space of health education and pursued my graduate education, health education, as well as international education development, because I understood the connections between, you know, indigenous homegrown practices related to health and wellness as well as what is happening here in this country. My desire was always to bridge the two and helping us to be mindful of the basics that we've lost along the way based on convenience. So bringing us back to the simple things, the fundamentals of living healthy are really core to what I do as a health educator. I'm someone who I cook. basically every day. If I'm not cooking, my husband cooks. But my children know good food because we cook. We don't eat out often, and we're very particular about where we eat out. And it depends on who hears this. I've raised food snobs. My children are really picky. They don't know McDonald's. They never ask to go to McDonald's or what. They don't eat fast food, and it's because we give them real food. We're really, you know, particular. My son happens to have allergies as well. So, again, we have to be mindful of what we bring in our home, what we put in our bodies, and you know, nutrition and wellness inside and out is really key to how I live and how I do what I do through Stronger Tomorrow and what I wrote in the book.
Yes, yes, I agree with you completely. This is totally off the grid, but I'm wondering if you have any access to or resources to share with people, the audience, about ways to access quality foods, or not even necessarily resources, like maybe your gardening in your house, or just different things that you can offer to eating a healthier lifestyle. Because, right, it's like, maybe it's just preparing the food earlier, or going to a farmer's market, or different things like that. What can you offer to the audience in terms of, you know, ways to eat high quality food, but on a budget?
Excellent, excellent. Definitely the farmer's markets. If you have access to them, utilize them. I just saw the farmer's market in my town open up for the season. I can't wait to be a frequent visitor. We keep a garden. My children grow things. We've planted tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, oh goodness, herbs in the garden. I want them to know where food comes from in the earth and be able to monitor that carefully. When I buy any fruits and vegetables from a store, I buy organic because I know the impact of the chemicals on our bodies, and I'm really careful. But what I try to do also is to utilize it down to the very end. So, for example, scallion, if you buy scallion, they have roots at the bottom. Keep a pot on your windowsill. Cut off the rooted part and stick it in the soil. Watch it, water it. You'll grow your own scallion. I have scallion growing on my window ledge. There are things that we can do to be careful. Also, you know, modify and understand that you don't have to eat heavy foods for every meal. We need to take in more fruits and vegetables wherever possible. And, you know, we can move away from, you know, the habit of we have to have rice and we have to have potatoes. And those are high, you know, starch foods that are high carbohydrate foods that are fillers. And the nutrients in that is not as high as if you were to, you know, put more greens on your plate or the colorful vegetables and fruits, and train your taste buds to get used to something different. Now, sugar has become too frequent in our diets, and we no longer can taste food properly. I'd recommend weaning off of sugar little by little and, you know, introduce yourself to something new in small doses. Don't make it a quick rush, but, you know, take your time and do some modifications because you are important. You know, what you do for yourself is extremely valuable, not just for you, but for the people around you. So everything we do, there's a ripple effect.
Yes, and I think I was asking more for myself than the audience. No, like it spoke to me for sure. Because, you know, I try to be health conscious, you know, with our children. And I'm not always so good with it because I eat sugar a lot. And, you know, that's a goal for me to, like, you know, detox from sugar because it really is important to our well-being. And, like, you know, we just celebrated Savannah's third birthday and we gave her a cupcake because we didn't have any vegan cupcakes. I went to a vegan bakery and they didn't have any cupcakes. And I'm like, okay, I didn't plan properly, obviously. And so I said, okay, I'll just, you know, get her a regular cupcake. But instantly I saw how the sugar was taking hold of her. She was going from room to room and running. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to just see how, you know, it had an effect on her because we never give it to her. And to just see, you know, just the downfall. And I was like, no way. But going into, like, things that are, like, obstacles for us and something for me to overcome, I'm wondering what has been your greatest lesson or biggest obstacle to overcome?
I think for me, being patient and carefully planning. Whether it's with developing my nonprofit or making changes, I tend to really go at it really hard and focused and really serious about what I want to do. And at the same time, I need to pace myself so I don't burn out, so I don't get overwhelmed. And for me, it's being patient, being careful in my planning, and taking things step by step. And with that comes a gratitude of being in the moment, which is something that, you know, I was raised, you know, you go after your goals, you know, achieve. But I needed to get to a point in my life where I had to stop. And that whole statement of smelling the roses really is having a moment of gratitude in that moment and space and time that you're in, that you can stand and look around you and say, my goodness, this is good. I've gotten to this point in my life and I'm enjoying this moment and I've learned so much. And not be in such a rush to get to the next thing, because what we're finding is lack of satisfaction, lack of appreciation, and lack of fulfillment in our lives when we're just moving on to the next thing to check the box of accomplishments. And I have gotten into this space of gratitude over the past, goodness, I remember I did this meditation session a couple of years ago, and everyone was to get a particular stone. You were to randomly pick a stone out of a basket. I pick out the gratitude stone. And at first I scowl. I'm like, I'm grateful. Why do I get this stone? But, the voice inside of me said, check yourself. You're getting this stone for a purpose and a reason. And I humbled myself in that moment, and my gratitude multiplied over since that moment till then, because it taught me to slow down and be more mindful than I thought I was. And, you know, when you're in a space where, okay, you've gotten a lot of things done in your life, you think, oh, I know this, there is always an opportunity to grow and learn. There's always an opportunity to be reflective, humble yourself, and see where can I expand and become more rooted in the person I need to become. So that is my long explanation of what I've learned and you know,
no,
my lessons.
I love it. No, I love it. I love it. I mean, again, you're just like speaking right to me. And I mean, when you're speaking of like more gratitude, it's this abundance, you know, like that's all I kept thinking of. It's this abundance of gratitude that you have when you're in that space. And it's not just sort of that by happenstance or, you know, fly by the seat of your pants. Oh, I'm grateful. It's like, no. And I love that you said that voice in your head said, no, check yourself. Cause you know, we need that sometimes, that accountability, that self-regulation of like, no, I do have areas where I still need to grow and I'm never going to be where I want to be. But if I can be grateful for where I am and rejoice in that, eventually I will get to that. It's not about the destination. It's more about focusing on those present moments. So I love that you said that.
Exactly. And I hope I have these feelings for the rest of my life, that I get to that last stage and look back and say, wow, look at all the beautiful moments that I've been able to slow down and enjoy.
Yes, absolutely. And so you mentioned briefly about, you know, the eight dimensions of wellness. I wanted you to be able to share with what those are and why you believe they are important to just overall health and wellness.
Okay, so the dimensions of wellness are developed from the Department of Health and Human Services, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. And these are the dimensions that I use, one, to anchor Stronger Tomorrow and the work that we seek to do in developing ourselves through the space of wellness, and I also use it in some way, shape, or form to anchor my book, Beyond the Facade. So the eight dimensions of wellness are emotional wellness, spiritual, intellectual, physical, environmental, financial, occupational, and social. Now, each of these areas are areas that we need to, on any given moment, in any given day, work on to help build us in having happier and healthier lives. And these are dimensions that collectively, we're not working on all at the same time, but there's always a moment where we can find a way to become better within. And I found that this was so critical because sometimes we're more focused on physical wellness, but we forget that there is an emotional component that's impacting our physical wellness, for example. Yeah. And emotionally, we're in a space and we're thinking, well, if I just work out, I'll be okay. But then you're binge eating later because something emotionally is bothering you. Or spiritual wellness. You're downtrodden and you're not feeling that you are living your purpose and your dream. And you have your job, you have your occupation, but you've yet to really tap in. What is it that you're supposed to be doing in this space? Financial wellness is another given. You know, we are people who are still learning how to manage money and build wealth for generations to come. And we're still, too many of us still stuck on getting the brand new car right out the gate and getting the house, but not having anything in savings to sustain us for even 6 months, you know, should we not be able to work. We're making purchases, again, on emotion and not on reasoning and logic as to whether or not it's a need or a want. And, you know, these are other examples. Socially, being able to interact socially with people who edify you, who engage you and support you, and you do the same with others. You know, too many times we're in social, you know, situations that we find draining, but we stay in them because we think that that's our job. And as women, you know, we tend to fall into that space of being sacrificial to everybody else. And the prevailing message is always, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. And we know this. We can repeat the script all the time, but what stops us? What becomes that priority that keeps us from addressing these dimensions of wellness, for example?
I saw on social media an Instagram post that said basically, like, you're either growing together or you're outgrowing each other, and it's like no in between. And I think that you're right that as women, we really do feel this sense of obligation to our social relationships, and it's hard for us to sort of, you were speaking about finances, and it's like we struggle with budgeting our money, but how are we budgeting our energy in terms of like who we're giving it to? And is it, you know, adding to us, or is it just feeding us? And so I feel that that is really true.
It's true. I would say over my lifetime, I've had seasons, and I've come to learn that, and I've been able to share that with other people and say, this may be an end of a season for you when you're with in a particular friendship or relationship. It might be a season that you are evolving out of, and if it's not evolving with you, it may be time for change. And that's a hard thing to swallow, particularly if you're growing and you're growing in a direction that changes your perspective on things, your attitudes and your beliefs in a way that you feel are evolving you to a place that you need to be in. And you can't stay stuck. And too often we find ourselves stuck and then we get resentful for that stuck, for being in that stuck state, and we need to take ownership of that.
No, for sure, for sure. And I love that you said that, like, this is the end of your season. You actually say that to people, because that's really great. I need to definitely utilize that in my language, because I always find it hard, you know, when it comes to those spaces of like, okay, I can see us distancing, and I either do one of two things. I ignore it and let the distance sort of take care of itself. Or, you know, I address it even though it's uncomfortable, and it ends up being, you know, I've only had one time that a friend was able to take that well. And, you know, it was beautiful because she was able to understand, and it was hurtful for her during that time. But now we're back together, and, like, you know, she's grown tremendously. And so it's like, you know, to your point, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily an ending, but an ending of a season. And maybe you do come back together, or maybe you don't, but whatever it is, it's like this growth has to continue to happen regardless of whatever's taking place.
Agreed, agreed. I had one bad ending that taught me I had to, you know, get into a place of understanding what seasons were. And it was through that experience that I've been able to grow and understand it today. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what would you say is, like, one resource, book, or tool that, like, is, like, your go-to that has helped you in your journey?
Something that's really helped me, and it's nothing that I'm reading of anyone else's. It's just journaling. I received a gift of a gratitude journal, and again, I go back to gratitude, but it's because it seems to just anchor peace and joy and being present in my life in a way that just helped me to surrender and allow things to be and evolve in a natural, healthy way. So I received some time ago a journal, a gratitude journal, of which I will turn to and write in a few times a week as my way of being mindful, as my way of recognizing what's happening in my days and my weeks that I need to capture and write down what I'm grateful for and what was special. Because my life is very busy. I'm running around with a full-time academic position. I have two children with busy schedules. I have my other pursuits, my nonprofit that I work on, a book I just finished. I have a husband. You know, I have a home. I have a lot of things that I'm doing and other social outlets that I'm involved in. And days can go by and you don't remember where you were, what you were doing within the last 48 hours. What meaning is that for life? And the gratitude journal helps me to take account of my life so that it's not a blur. And when I got to a point that I no longer wanted to live a blurred existence where I would wake up and not know where I had been and what I have coming up and just going through the motions, it helped me to just tune my mind into my present reality. It helped my children do so as well. You know, my husband and I have these conversations, and, you know, if not every day, every other day, we will just stop, just sit on the couch and just look at each other and have that conversation of what has happened, what we've appreciated, and what is to come and how we're still appreciating this present moment.
No, I love that. And it's so true. We get lost in this thought train and like we're kind of like on autopilot and mm-hmm. there's no real conscious awareness of like the day to day. And so I love that you journal. I love journaling. It's a resource that I use for myself as well. And I love that you said that it allows you to have something to go back to look at, you know, because mm-hmm. it's not just like writing and leaving it. And, you know, it's like really going back and like sitting in that. And that probably contributes to your sense of abundance and of additional gratitude, just going back and seeing where you were, especially in those moments where it's like all this busyness is going mm-hmm. and you can just take it and grab it. And it's like, it's something to go to like remind you of yourself and of your center.
I like that you said a sense of abundance, because we are really wrapped up with the social media, you know, pages and updates that we get on a daily basis. And it's easy to get caught up in somebody else's journey and not take a moment and look at your own and recognize the actual abundance that you do have. And that is why the gratitude journal has helped me. You know, it's easy to see people, oh my gosh, they're traveling and doing things. And, you know, it may be so. It may be a post that they had 5 years ago, but it looks like they're doing so much. And your first inkling is wow, I'm missing out on something. You're not missing out on anything. You know, you're living your moment. You're in your present. You got to claim that. And that's where the abundance is, at least for me, is being in my present moment and being able to enjoy that fully.
So what is one quote or mission statement that you would say that you live by?
With God, all things are possible.
With God, all things are possible.
I did a vision board for the first time, and I've done it before, but as a family, New Year's Eve, we did vision boards. And one of the things I wrote out and attached to my vision board was, with God, all things are possible. And that is something I heard from my mother as a child growing up and, you know, grew up going to church. But it's when you truly believe that with God, all things are possible and you really have that buried deep in your heart, it means so much more. So the vision board we did, and I put that on there, and we put all the things that we envisioned focusing on for this year and really believing it and really trusting God in that to be our reality, that this year wasn't going to become a blur. This year was going to be meaningful and purposeful so that when we look back on the year, we can say yes, and we felt good that it was good and it was well accomplished and well used. So that's my go-to quote. And I share that with my family as well.
No, yes, I love it. It's so powerful. It is the only quote that you need to live by, and it's mm-hmm. so true. And I love that you even shared that you did a vision board with your family. I think that's so important because, right, it's not just our individual journeys that we have to focus on in terms of being well, but like our family system that we're connected to and how that plays a role in our wellness journey. Mm-hmm. So you focus on that individual and you get well and then yourself and then you move to that collective. And, you know, you and your husband, you said that you took time out with him. So like just be present because you all have your own wellness journey collectively and then one with your children. And there's all these different layers to it, right?
But yeah. Very much.
I think it's beautiful that you do that, though. It's so beautiful. I think I'm going to go home and tell my husband we need to do a family vision board because
it was
so important.
Fun. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait for New Year's to do it again, but we are living it this year, and that was a lot of fun.
No, that's awesome. So is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you want to share with the audience? We're coming to the end of this interview, but I want you to be able to share anything else that you may feel that our audience may need to get started on their wellness journey about you and your business. You can even share how people can connect with you also.
Well, let's see. People can connect with me on Instagram for my book. Please, please, please follow me at Living Beyond the Facade. I'm also on Instagram as myself, Dr. C.W. Thorpe. And I also have my nonprofit on there as well at ST Wellness Women. I'm also on LinkedIn as, you know, you can find me as Dr. Christine Thorpe on LinkedIn. My final words for people would be you can always start anew every day. Every day is a new day to start. Never feel like it's over. It's only over when you choose never to pursue. And you can pursue as long as you have breath in your body and you have the ability to wake up and start a new day, make choices that are beneficial for you, and watch the fruits of those choices. You'll be a better person for it, and the people around you will appreciate and love you more for being your best you. And you'll draw more positivity to you when you do right for yourself and do right for those around you by being good to yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Thorpe, for this. I appreciate you so much. I'm going to add those links to your Instagram and to your LinkedIn page at the bottom of this podcast. I'm also going to include links to where you guys can purchase her book. She's going to be at the retreat, so you can also find her speakers page at nightfairywellness.com to connect with her social media pages there as well. You don't want to miss this workshop that she's going to do. It's going to be phenomenal, if you cannot tell just from this interview. She is a dynamic woman, and she's a woman of her word, which I love that, like, you're not only speaking this and teaching it, but you're actually living it. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you so much. I'm looking forward to being a part of your workshop, to reading your book, and to just continuing to growing in this journey with you. I'm so honored to be connected to you. I thank you so much.
I share that same feeling and sentiment with you as well. I am so grateful for being on this. Thank you so much for connecting, staying connected, and I'm excited to see this journey through. This is going to be fantastic.
Thank you for listening to the Fall Into Wellness Limited Series Podcast. For more information and to register for our retreat, visit us at nightfairywellness.com/fallintowellness.